TV.
It's the Mystery Sofa Man. The man who has been on the sofa every show for the last, I don't know, five or six shows. It is Greg Davis from Indianapolis, Indiana. You saw him on the Run video. He was the guy, along with Wes Follenkamp, filling my water bag and my backpack, and he was there. This guy is one of the truest friends you can imagine. He's always there whenever there's something to be done, whenever there's a need. He's made e-books out of some of my manuscripts, and he's done a number of things. And for us, he works with Kelly on some website stuff. It's just stuff that I can't do, don't have the ability to do. He's a tech guy. I'm not a tech guy. More importantly, he's also a fellow believer. First of all, welcome to MCTV. I'm Martin Zender. This is Greg Davis. Greg, I'm glad that you and Terry Clemens and Wes Follenkamp were all here for the run, and then we stayed on, and we've had some amazing fellowship.
Yeah, I had a great time. Even the 24-hour drive was quite fun. No, it really was, after a while. It was really nice meeting Terry. I'd met Wes before one of his conferences, but I had never met Terry before, and he's a great guy. And obviously, very smart, very well-spoken.
Yeah, very smart, and hasn't sinned in 15 years. Absolutely amazing. I didn't know that till the interview. That was amazing.
Yeah, this is my Terryism. I have something to say.
Oh, yeah, he's so cool when he takes his glasses off.
That was neat.
Oh,
that
really, yeah, do that again. Do it again. Terryism.
Something smart.
Oh, that's good, man. I wish I had glasses so I could take them off. Let me try this. This is so good.
It makes you feel good.
It's like you're reading something, and you go, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, people pay attention to you when you take your glasses off.
Watch.
Oh, I know what that is.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Not as impressive as the glass removal. Not as impressive. Not bad, though. Do them both. Okay. Wow, that's awesome. Tremendous. You've seen Greg at all the conferences because he does a great service for the body of Christ. He films. He's at every conference, man behind the camera. He follows me around on the Q&As, and
you pay me well for that, too.
Yeah, I pay him real well. I give him
thank you.
Glass of whiskey once in a while.
That's good enough.
Yeah. If we can keep it away from Terry. Anyway.
That's not easy to do either.
No. But he is a great service at the conferences, so a lot of you have met him. So I've had him give his testimony before, but this was years ago, and as the years go by, we always have a different way of talking about things and explaining things. And just like Terry, who was raised in the Baptist church, I believe, Mr. Davis, that you have some sort of religious affiliation from your past. Yes?
Yes, yes. Most of my youth, I was a Baptist. Before that, early, I was, eight? I got baptized as a Mormon.
And wait. You got baptized into Mormonism, or you got baptized as a Mormon? Do you have to get baptized to be a Mormon? I'm confused.
I was confused, too. I just did it because my dad did. Okay. So, yeah, he was, his parents raised him basically in the Christian church, and my dad always said that his father always thought that, you know, you're good, God's going to weigh your good against your bad, and if your good was more than your bad, you're in. Ooh. And my dad never really believed that, so he thought he'd find another false religion and go to Baptist.
Oh,
so that worked.
Swapped out false religions.
Right, okay. Right. That's pretty much the way it worked, yeah. So, but yeah, I was pretty much Baptist. He was Southern Baptist. He kind of, towards the end, he kind of gave that up. He wanted to be a preacher. He wanted to be a Baptist preacher, but they wouldn't let him do it because he'd been divorced. You know, the husband of one wife thing.
Oh, yeah.
So they wouldn't let him be. So he kind of stepped back. So I tried to talk to him after I, you know, found the truth through you and Dan Sheridan's show.
Yeah, well, I want to ask you, how deep did you get into the Baptist church? I mean, you were baptized as a Mormon, then you came out of that and became a Baptist. Am I right about that or no?
Yeah, well, I got baptized again.
Oh, you got double baptized.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that should outweigh all your bad activities. Not that you have any. I'm not assuming anything.
Don't assume.
And now we're going to list all your bad activities. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back. Take the kids out of the room, and we're going to talk about Greg Davis's...
You'll have to put across screen 3 hours later.
Oh, 3 hours later. Oh, God.
Yeah. I stayed in the Baptist church after, you know, I got to be an adult and I moved on and I was going off and on to Baptist churches, not super seriously. And around 2008, I joined my first Baptist church. I was 38.
Wait a minute. You were a son of a Baptist preacher and you didn't join a Baptist church until 2008?
He never made preacher. They wouldn't let him.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He never made preacher.
To be a preacher.
But he was disappointed in you, probably, that you weren't a member of the church.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he never really said, but...
He sounds like a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy. Yeah, he's passed away since, but yeah, I joined it was actually I'm trying to remember what they called themselves, General Baptist Church.
All right.
So I joined that, became friends with the pastor. A couple of years later, ran into Martin, Dan Sheridan's radio show in Indianapolis. Started learning the real truth.
Yes.
I was a Sunday school teacher. I was the technology director, you know, so I got to run the projector and play the music and, you know, all that fun stuff.
Now, wait a minute. We got to slow down here. I'm confused. So you found, you were driving down the road in Indianapolis and you heard, well, I'm going to get back to this.
Yeah.
But you heard Dan Sheridan and me on the radio. Dan and I had a radio show. The shows are still on my website, by the way. Go to MCTV. Go to the Martin Center Dan Sheridan show on the left, and we did over 100, I think it was 130-something broadcasts on a real Christian radio station in Indianapolis. This is not the Cleveland show. This is a whole different iteration. It was with Dan Sheridan, and we eventually got kicked off. That's another story. But this guy was driving down the road and heard us. I want to get back to that because it's an amazing story. But after you heard that, you were still going to church.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have to give the pastor some credit. I told him about my new beliefs about the salvation of all, no free will, no hell, about the eons, and of course he wasn't interested in it. I tried to talk to him. He wouldn't talk, but he did give me the great. Well, I was teaching Sunday school at the time, and he let me teach what I wanted to teach, which no other Baptist pastor would.
I've never heard of such a thing. You must have been friends with him or something.
Yeah, we were friends.
Explains it. My God, he let you teach Sunday school, the salvation of all, no free will, and you were teaching against the Trinity as well?
Oh, yeah. Big time. They didn't like that. No, but he just said, as long as I prefaced my teaching with, this is my opinion, this is not the opinion of the church, this is not church doctrine, this is my opinion, my belief, then he was okay with it.
Wow.
And, it was a very small church. I had like an average of 12 or 15 people per class. And like I told you years ago in the first interview, about five of them really got it. And they believed it. Yeah, and two of them, I'm still in touch with two of them since I've left the church. They've since left the church. I don't know if I told you this, the church has been leveled. They sold the church and to somebody, and they leveled it, and it's just all bare ground right now.
They got to it before God got to it. They preempted the tribulation. Amazing.
Yeah.
They leveled the church, and it's so fantastic that they let you teach that. So you were teaching up to 12 people, and five of the 12 got the truth? That's, of course, I'm not good at math, but that's about 90%. No, it's 45%.
Something like that, yeah.
That's an incredible ratio.
Maybe I need a Red Bull, too. I can't do the math either.
Yeah, maybe we can pull one out of Terry's clutches. I don't know.
But, yeah, I still credit him with that. We're not really in touch anymore. They've moved to a different location. I think they're sharing another church with somebody in Greenwood, Indiana. But yeah, it was amazing that he let me do that, and I honored that. Now, they closed the church after COVID, and then when they started reopening, I just called him up and said, listen, I don't think I can come back, because I felt like I was walking a tightrope all the time.
Okay, yeah, so it was you that closed the door on that, not him.
Right. Yeah, okay. I called him up and just said, listen, I'm not going to come back.
Yeah.
And I did ask, I talked to him, and I would still help him out. We're still friends. But I was helping him out with some stuff in the church, technical stuff. And I asked him, I said, hey, you know, if I were to come back, would you still let me teach what I was teaching? He says, no. No, we decided as a church council that we're not going to let anybody teach anything other than church doctrine. And I found out since then that that's not true. It was he made the decision arbitrarily.
To your utter glory.
Yes.
To your utter glory.
Yes.
That suffering evil for the evangel. They kicked you out.
Yes.
Good.
No, they didn't kick me out. I just... never went back.
Yeah, well, let's just say they kicked you on.
Okay,
it's much more dramatic.
Yeah, it's more dramatic. I'm sorry. You are the drama queen. You are.
Yes, I am. So, Okay, well, they voted. I mean, it was him, but he deferred to the other people, which it was a lie, and it was him all along.
That's what
I've heard. I'm sorry, but that's getting kicked out.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right, so let's go back to...
I'll wear it as a badge of honor.
It is a badge of honor. Just like Dan Sheridan and I getting fired from that church in Indianapolis was a badge of honor. Somebody, one of the advertisers... We had a show in Indiana. It was being broadcast. We recorded it in Indiana. Dan would drive down from Chicago. I would drive over from Ohio, and we'd meet at this radio station and pre-record 10 to 15 shows in 2 days. They were 13-minute shows. I need to explain a little bit of the background of this. At the time, this was 2009. I was going through a terrible divorce. Everybody knows about that. It was the worst experience of my life. And I was trying so hard I was willing to give up this work. That's how bad I wanted my wife back. And I was willing to give up my jobs, give up this work. And if I had, you would never have heard of me. Or let's watch any of my videos. And I remember the day I went out and I applied for like 16 jobs. I just went everywhere. I wanted to be a dishwasher at Bob Evans Restaurant. I wanted to be a seating host at Applebee's or at... Cheddar's. There's a restaurant called Cheddar's in Ontario, Ohio. And I remember going there and I would have done anything to get a quote real job. And I was ready to quit this. I really was. That was my desperation. And I went to Cheddar's and applied. And they seemed to like me at Cheddar's. I made an impression. Who wouldn't like me? All I wanted to do was seat people, maybe get a hot meal because I was living on my own. It was horrible. It was torture. I don't even want to talk about how bad it was. But anyway, I came in for a second interview. And I thought, I got this job. Put a apron on me. I will sit people so I will lead people to their seats like you've never seen before. I came in for a second interview. I said, I got this in the bag. I waited 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, nothing. I called them. Cheddar's. Why haven't I been hired yet? Because we hired somebody else, numbnuts. Goodbye.
Is that a quote?
Yeah, that's a quote. The next day, Greg, the next day, I got a call from Dan Sheridan. And he said, I'm doing a radio show in Indianapolis because he was doing it first by himself.
Yeah. Because, right? I think I told you I heard him before I heard the both of you. I was driving to work, same thing. I was driving to work and this crazy guy, Dan Sheridan, I don't remember what he was talking about, but whatever it was like, this guy's a nut. And I just changed the station. It was weird. Go ahead.
That's Sheridan.
Yep.
He's a nut.
He is a nut. He
isn't. Thank you. He's a nut.
That's why we fit so well together.
We fit so well together. He's an inspired nut. But this nut called me. We were friends. He said, I'm doing a show in Indiana, but I need a co-pilot. I'm Batman. I need Robin. And so because it was the day after I got rejected by Cheddar's, I could not get a job at Cheddar's. I could not get a job as a dishwasher. I could not get a job as a floor mopper. I could not get a job as anything. I could not clean Cheddar's. I could not sweep the floor. I got rejected for every single job I put in for. And the phone rings at Sheridan. Come to Indiana. We're going to make a show together. I said, I'm game. This was a God thing, completely a God thing. So I drive across the state of Ohio into the state of Indiana. We're on the stations at WC. What is it?
IBC?
No, W. No, it was on 62nd Street.
Yeah.
I'll put it down here. It was 1000 a.m., wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
1500.
Yeah, 1500 a.m. And they locked Sharon and me in the studio. We were the only guys in the studio. It was an amazing thing. And so we created like 130 shows.
WBRI.
Thank you. WBRI, 1500 a.m. in Indianapolis, a Christian radio station. Mm-hmm. And this man then one day was driving down the street and heard two guys on the radio.
Two crazy guys. Yeah, about a week, maybe 2 weeks after I dismissed Dan Sheridan by himself, this crazy guy shows up on the radio, and they said something that struck a chord, and I kept listening, and I listened every day from then on, pretty much. Found your website, downloaded all your audios, and I listened to them two or three times a year at least. Oh, you got 23 weeks, I think you did?
Yeah, we had 23 weeks of that show in Indianapolis. Really? Folks, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear the shows that this man heard, we were on the air in 5 cities. We were on the air in Indianapolis, I think Birmingham, Alabama.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. I think we were somewhere in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And I think in Nebraska, Fremont, Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah. So weird cities. I don't know.
Yeah, they were kind of all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're weird cities. No offense to anyone in Omaha. They're great cities, but we were all over the place. And I thought it was so weird how God works that you got the truth from that show, and that show just, God made sure it happened, and he did the unthinkable with me. You know, I was trying so hard to go in a different way, but God said, nope, you're stuck here, kid. You're staying here, and you got the truth from that. That just blows my mind. I'm so happy about that. So, Greg, go ahead.
No, I'm happy. I've told you before, I feel bad that you were going through such a bad time in your life, but that was the best part of my life.
Yeah,
I came into the truth because of your pain.
That makes me happy. Yeah,
well, it makes me happy too, but it makes me feel bad.
Well,
too.
That's a Christ-like thing to give up to suffer for somebody else. Not that I'm the only one that does that. A lot of people do that, but it's an example of it. It really is that I've often considered myself a broken vessel from which the perfume of God pours out. And as I said many times, I think you have to be broken to minister this word. The gospel of Paul, you have to be broken. There's nobody who's not broken that does this. So I'm convinced of that. So Greg, I mean, again, you're a soldier. You read this man every day in the comments. He's known as Greg Unirec.
Yep.
And tell us what Unirec stands for in case somebody doesn't know.
Universal reconciliation, one of my favorite terms.
That is, that Christ is the universal reconciler, the reconciler of the entire universe. That's based on Colossians 1:20.
Amen, brother.
That through the blood of the cross, God will reconcile all things to himself, whether those on earth or those in the heavens. Well, Greg, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this visit.
Me too.
And with you and young Terrence the Younger, and Wes Follenkamp, all of us, we've had a heck of a time of fellowship. And I look forward to seeing you again. So don't be a stranger. I know I'm going to see you at the Kansas City Conference.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to, May 15th through 17th of this year. Everything's set. We got the rooms paid for. You know, the link's still under Martin's videos. So, yeah, click the link, get your hotel room, and meet us there.
And Greg was instrumental, along with Paula and Mark Haukes. He was instrumental in making this happen. There's been a lot of headaches to get this conference going. So let's make it worthwhile. Please, everybody come to the Kansas City Conference May 15th through 17th.
That is correct.
May 15th through 17th, Kansas City, Missouri. All the information is linked on my website at martinzender.com. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Down below, and grace and peace.